You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes and or wherever you listen to podcasts, those five stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court, but how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you. It's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Well, let's rock and roll. I'll record it so I can send it to you again too.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
So we had a first JV game, barn burner. We got a one-point game. It was really close. Half-court shots in. They didn't quite get it there. So okay. That was fun.
Did you win?
No, we lost.
Oh, okay. Okay.
but we didn't score a single point the first quarter, and it ended up 33-34. So it was a good comeback.
Okay.
So my question was, on the press breaker, I was doing kind of this – three people here.
Yep, just move it up toward your head a little bit more. Yep, perfect, like that. Yep.
So, and just like passing and going here and so forth, but it was a full court man press. So yep, I had too many people. I'm sorry.
Too many people?
Yeah. So I changed it to something like this and just had them screen and then come get the ball.
Yeah, so I'd leave the two guys at half court. I'd leave two people at half court. Yep. And then I'd have the other two kind of screen and work for each other. And then the ones from half court can kind of work in tandem. Like one can go up and one can go down kind of like this and just find open space.
Okay.
Because they don't want to get beat deep. So they can be a relief as long as they're semi quick or they're as quick as, the person that's guarding them, then you should be okay.
So what is this person? So as I understand, you know, going here, wherever the ball and so forth is.
Yep. And they might know that, and they might come all the way down to the baseline to for a relief. No, this way to for a relief. Okay. If these two are denied, maybe they take the person guarding the person throwing it in.
Okay.
They might have to come all the way down and get the ball.
Okay.
So depending on the kind of pressure.
So as a general rule, is like if I'm here, I'm just having the other person like, you know, cut.
But I'm having them screen for each other and then roll.
Okay. And then once they get the ball and then say
then they're just diagonal cutting in front. Yep.
So what this person, is he always a relief?
He's the behind. Yep.
Okay.
So you always want three angles. So move it up a little bit toward the ceiling. So the person that has the ball there should have three angles to the left, to the middle, and down the sideline. Always three angles. And people should be cutting into those three lanes at all times. So that bottom person could cut behind. The top person could cut over. They should just be moving and cutting.
So if it gets sent back here, is that good?
Yep. Now I would I diagonal cut again. Yep.
Okay.
Always be open. In a man press, always be open. Be open in a zone press too.
Okay, so the other question I had is, if I'm just trying to clear out and let my two guards bring it up, and then does it make sense just to get like three people up here
I'd get him out of there. I'd get everybody out of there. If you like got a guard that can bring it up, yeah, I just have one person bring it up.
Well, I just thought in case they get a little jammed up, they'd have a relief or something here.
Yeah, or if they get doubled, then the other person should come back because your person's doubling. But I just bring, when you have a good guard, get everybody out of there.
Okay. So retreat. And then just
retreat. Yeah. Okay. Because you don't want to bring another defender toward the man. Or person.
So just let them take, of course, go middle. Just push the ball in the middle of the court. And then if they get jammed up, just have one of the people ready to come back. And then they can go. If I have a couple of guards there. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right, cool.
And get the rest of them out of there because they're only going to cause problems.
Okay. All right. Yes. Thanks.
You want a little play date, not a big play date. Hey, James, you got to stay after we're done here because I got one of my tests back, which was good, but I want to talk to you about it. So
yeah.
I want free medical. Medical.
Call me after. Call me after.
Okay, I'll call you after.
Call me on my phone.
Okay, I'll call you on your phone. Hey, I didn't want to bother you.
You can call me anytime.
Okay.
So you got me pretty set up this season with the million questions I asked you. So I haven't had that many recently because we went through a lot.
That is true.
That's true. So you got me pretty set.
I'm feeling very vested in your team. I am. I'm feeling very
vested. We're 2-0.
We're 3-1. And there we got a butts kick last night. So I got very little sleep last night. So,
Yeah.
We got our butts kicked. But anyway, we're young.
We're getting there. Hey, just a few questions. Shooting. So I just don't feel like I'm doing a lot of shooting in practice. What is a minimum for you shooting wise?
So it's ditto. I'll repeat it and say yes. That's when I try to do, like, we played yesterday, which was Saturday. So we tried to get shots up after our walkthrough. Minimum of 10 minutes probably in a practice. But the problem is we are so, I don't know about your schedule, but we're like Tuesday, Friday. One week we're Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I don't have time to get a lot of shots up other than in stuff we're doing. So winter break, that's one of the things I told them over after the game yesterday is don't make plans for winter break. So, because we have two games and we're going to have to get some shots up. So early season, it can win you games, but early season, if you don't have everything in, it can lose you games too. So yes, it's one of those things that I always wish I had more time to exercise. It's one of those things you always wish you had more time. That's the one spot that always kind of gets, hopefully they've been getting shots up before this. January, February, we crank it up more. We back off the other stuff and we crank up shots.
Okay.
So it's one of those things that get like, we dribble too much right now. So we're working on that skill set of not dribbling so much. So that's one of our kryptonites right now. We dribble too much. So anyway,
I'm curious. What's your pregame like? What's your pregame like? I like to know what you do.
Pregame, the actual pregame of on the court or the pregame in
when you're at home, like, do you have them come in a couple hours before to get shots up? Yep.
So we do our walkthrough and stuff before school. Because I want to get them up and dressed and thinking about what the job is at that time. I split my suit. I can tell you something funny. I split my suits Thursday, bent down, back went. Thank you, COVID. And I put on like 2 pounds pre-COVID. But anyway, so I always get dressed up because it's kind of like, that's like my game uniform. So we always do shoot around before school. It's part of the discipline of getting up, getting to school before everybody else, getting some shots up, that kind of stuff. And then we don't, girls practice after school then when we're at home, so we can't get in our gym. But we'll do some walkthrough stuff. We'll do some stuff on the board beforehand. We'll do some classroom stuff. We'll watch film sometimes, especially on the road. If I don't have them ready by then, we don't do a lot of, we do some of it in our pregame. That's why I asked if it's on the court. Like, we'll work on our stuff and we'll use that 15, 20 minutes pregame as like a mini practice.
I mean, how long is that? Like you said, you get them in early before school. How long are you with them before
school? I'm with them for 40 minutes.
Okay.
40 minutes. Okay. So a lot of shots. Talking about shots, a lot of shots up then. Let's go through our out of bounds plays. Let's go through their out of bounds plays. What are they, you know, like the opponent we're playing in 2 days has like 23 out of bounds. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, out of bounds plays, yeah. They don't, but they've been running them since I played them. So it's like, we got to go through all these so they know. And that's why we tend to zone more on out of bounds plays than man, because it throws a lot of out of bounds plays into, it's hard to score, especially close ones. So anyway, yeah. That makes sense?
Yeah.
All right. Brian?
Hey, thanks, Coach. Yeah, I got a couple questions for you. Okay. My first one's kind of big picture. I've always felt like I've done rotations wrong. And I'm wondering, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it doesn't help when you look at the bench and the boys give you, you know, the long look. You know, yeah, that always makes you second guess yourself and whatnot.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm going into year four, JV boys. I'm just looking for a little clarification. What do you think on rotations?
How many kids on the roster?
I got 12 on the roster, and the old rule was everyone had to play. The new rule for the last 2 years and the new head coaches, not that. But I still feel kind of awful not doing it. But on a couple close games, I haven't. It didn't feel amazing, but we did win.
How many of those kids will play the following year?
All of them have come back. All of them came back, actually. Yeah.
Okay. No, so I'm saying, so from let's do the historical statistics. For the last 4 years, how many of those kids played varsity?
Only one's on VAR this year. So that would be none, I guess. Only one has moved up to VAR. One kid I didn't play at the end of a tight game, and he ended up moving up this year.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
12's a lot to play.
It is. It is.
It's almost too many. I think 8 to 10 is a good – are you play quarters, 8-minute quarters?
Correct, yes. Okay. No shot clock, 8-minute quarters, yeah.
So here's the way. If you want to play more, here's how you should do it. You should always have – 3 of your top 7 on the court at all times. So it's a little bit of a math thing. So let's number them 1 through 7 for the sake of argument. 1 through 7. So I'm going to have 1, 2, and 7 in there, and then I can go grab 8 to 9 maybe, or I'm going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm going to throw 10 in with them. So I'm not going to put 11 and 12 in unless I got 1, 2, 3 probably to balance it out. So that's a good way of thinking about it. Like, you don't have to tell them that this kid's one, but you could probably list them from 1 to 12. And then in your head, you're going, all right, I got to get 10 and 11 in. I got to make sure I got 2, 3, 4 in with them. That will balance it. It'll keep it more competitive for everybody. It'll make 2, 3, and 4 better. It will make definitely 11 and 12 better. In the ideal world, you're probably only playing 8 and the other 4 are picking up curling or something or downhill skiing. But because they're probably never going to play at the next level, probably.
Yeah.
If they're 9 through 12, they're probably not going to play varsity basketball. So it's hard. The hard part is probably want to say that. You probably want to send that message to them, but it's hard as a teacher and educator. It's hard. I know it. But it's like, yeah,
we haven't had our first game yet, actually, which is kind of crazy. We play it next Tuesday. And so I haven't actually set the expectation for what the rotation is going to be. So I could do a team meeting and explain that.
And I would go through. Seriously, here's what you need to do. I'll give you something I've done in the past that James will love this. So I've gone up and done the math about how many minutes are in a basketball game. Okay. So you play 32 minutes, right? Times 5, right? It's 160 minutes. I do my math right. 160, right? So you put that up there. You do the math with them and say, this is how many minutes of playing time I have. Each kid is 32 minutes. If I start 5 people and leave them on the court, they would each play 32 minutes. So this is how many minutes I have as your coach, okay? And before I do this meeting, I have them all fill out how long they think they should be playing. It will never be less than 160. It will be 348 minutes. So you don't put their names on it. You go, here's what people put. And you list the and you number them 1 through 12. And you go, this is it. And this is what I have. So we're not on the same page. So let's talk about this. And some of you are going to play more than others. And some of you are better at calculus than others. And then I have that discussion. And that has seemed to help. It's hard for them to hide from that because they look for their number. Oh, I said 22. Well, then they see six other kids wrote 27 minutes. It's like, they go, whoa, you know? So it's a good tool to use. I mean, I'm only playing eight or nine. I'm so banged. I have 13 on my roster. I have three that can't play. They're hurt and all. So I'm not having that issue right now. So I don't have to have that meeting.
I always have kids injured, health. I have a kid who's going to Mexico for a week. You know, that's tough. I did not know that at tryouts. That's going to sit him on the end of the bench for a minute.
Right.
You know, so yeah, there are some things that make it really like an 11 to 10 player roster often, which makes it easier, you know,
which makes but still at 10, 11.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to play 22 minutes. Well, 22 times that doesn't add up. That's where my extra minute's coming from. So
exactly.
That's a really good thing to have after you've played a couple games too.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. That will help a lot. All right, Noah, you're up. Do you have any questions?
Oh, sorry.
Your camera's off, but you're in your car. So I don't know.
Yes, I am. I'm glad you caught that.
I did. The last couple I saw in a car doing it. Anyway, go ahead.
All good. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on the 2-1-2 zone? Like, have you seen anyone ever run it before? Like, how are the rotations wise?
Because I like a 3-2 better than a 2-1-2.
Because of just the rotations in terms
of the rotations and perimeter? It covers threes better.
Okay.
Right. If you're going to run a 2-1-2, you might as well just run a 2-3 because it morphs into the 2-1-2. So basically, my philosophy is either run a 3-2 or a 2-3 if you're going to run one of those. Because a 2-3, that bottom guy is going to come up and he'll have to take the high post anyway at times. So it will morph into a 2-1-2. So there's no reason to start in a 2-1-2. A 3-2 is good if the team you're playing can penetrate gaps. So then that's a little bit better then because it stops that gap penetration. But I would either run a 2-3 or a 3-2. Be honest with you, because the rotations are easier.
Okay, because I had a game today and I ran the 2-1-2.
I have the
middle guy take, like, he's covering the entire high post as well the paint area, so he really has to be like the most active. So in like the first possession, he didn't know that he has to tag the cutter, so the cutter knows like, okay, I can't just get a simple basket cut towards the basket. The guy did get a pretty good duck in as well as for a layup. He missed it, but regardless of the point. But after that, I mean, it worked a little bit because the other team didn't see it. But I just wanted to know, like, you know, if it was good to keep it up or try to change it up.
No, I mean, that's fine. It's basically when it gets below that second hash, he's going to be a 2-3 anyway. Everything becomes a 2-3 when it gets low enough on the court. It morphs into a 2-3 if it's done well. Even a 1-3-1 does that. Kind of morphs into a 2-3 a little bit. So it's fine. Whatever rotation, if it worked, I'd stick with it. But I just think 2-3 is an easier initial rotation, but it doesn't matter. And I could get 12 coaches. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, would I be able to send you like film on that, like from today?
Sure. To yes, see the yeah, but time? I'm gonna be brutally honest. We have 5 games in like 11 days. I probably won't get to it till winter break, but I'll get to it.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, it'll be winter break for you. My wife and my daughter are going to Florida without me, so I'll have lots more time for a break. My son's coming home, that's so wrong. I can see him, but Yeah, they're going. They're leaving me for a week, so that will be good. Yes, I will write that down and put it in my calendar.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, Coach. No problem. All right, Mark. I feel like it's like Brady Bunch. Go ahead.
So I was just going to ask the press right now. We're doing a 2-2-1 full court press on makes and misses. So my question is, I wanted to also jump to man on first pass and also try to deny the best ball player. So does that make sense if, say, on makes, because you have a little bit more time, if one of these people can deny their best ball player and then just pick up man full court? Is that a good transition or no?
Does that make sense? Make or a miss?
Just on a miss, because they have a little bit more time to set up. So on
that's fine. On a miss, it's hard to set up a 2-2-1 on a miss. On a make, it's much easier. But on a miss, it's you better have a pretty special team on a miss. So I would do that. People underestimate just full court pressure man, like not even trapping. It changes tempo. Our previous one, we just basically wore out the point guard. He was one of their best players, and we just wore him out. I would definitely do that. I would just
bodies. Yeah, so they're getting in the habit of every time 2-2-1, they're lining up right there. So as far as the transition, though, because most are in our league, there's usually one best point. Yeah, would you like maybe even double their best and then pick up, or would you just try to deny with one, everybody else just pick up?
I mean, if you wanted to get rid of it, I mean, I've run defenses where we've played man, and whenever one a specific player gets a ball, we always double.
I mean, before the inbound. So try to deny
before the inbound. Double. I mean, that's a hard double. That's a hard double to get to. I mean, if you can do it, great, but it's a hard double to get to.
So maybe I'd be best to say, hey, somebody deny their best ball player and then just
And then if she when she catches it, then we're just going to work her and zigzag her and move her up and down. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I have an option of doubling her or just simply just keep the pressure on her. Yep. Okay.
And that's if everybody in your league kind of has one guard that's good like that, that's a good thing. That's a good kind of tweak is call it, you know, purple or something. And then every time that specific girl or guy catches it, we just double them.
Just double them. Okay. Yeah. So try to not.
It frustrates them out of them because they're used to being able to do whatever they want. And all of a sudden, they basically got to get rid of the ball every time they get it.
Right. Okay.
There's some vulnerabilities in that, but it can frustrate a superstar.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's helpful. Okay, cool.
All right. James.
All right. So my next question is, now that we're a little bit farther into the season, do you like when you practice your defense live or your offense live, do you like to do it in segments during your practice, or do you like to all put it together at the end with a scrimmage? How often do you find yourself scrimmaging during the week?
I do Hold a on lot one of second. It's okay.
Going on to the next person. It's my wife. Go on to the next person.
Okay. You're gonna have to remind me of the question, but I'll come back. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, nice. Okay, Coach, got another one for you. Okay, practice plans.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, I haven't had a game yet, right? So maybe I'm just overthinking this. I'm just, you know, thinking how to best use these 2 hours. Right now I've got what I'm calling a warm-up that is form shooting. So like 5 perfect makes on each side, and then 5 perfect makes stepping back, 1 in each location, basically to the 3-point line. 3-man shooting, 2 rebounders, 1 shooter can't stay in the same spot. More conditioning, getting shots up, 2 minutes. Mike-ins for a minute. Right now, our high score is 51. I told them when they get like 55, they can try reverses. You know, they all really want to do that.
Yep.
And then we do a set of 10. They have to get down and back, you know, 10 times in 56 seconds. And then they shoot free throws, 2 and rotate. Big guys start first after the set of 10. And if they miss, and then they come back to the baseline, I have 5 people come out. For everyone they miss, they do another set. That's taken us about 25, 30 minutes every single day.
Yep. It's too long.
It seems like too long. Yeah.
It's way too long. So here's what you do. Yep. Here's what you do. This is what we did this year too, because we literally like are starting from scratch. Like they don't know which hand to put up to play man defense. It's crazy. So, because we hadn't played in 2 years. So, here's what you should do. You should make a list of like 20 key things you want to work on. This is what we've started to do. We're at like 15 right now. And then I go and I grab like three of them a day. So it gives them variety and gives them skill work. And we do them for 2 minutes each, boom. And then we're out. That's it. And it's different things every day. I wouldn't put free throws in that skill. I would do that something else. But there should be like a good one that we do is like partner free throws. And when you're, as long as you make, no one runs. And if you miss, then you start running around the gym until the next person. So just put a little pressure on them. I always want to put pressure on free throws. Didn't seem to work in our last game, but that's what I would do. I would get skill sets like Mike and his one. We have a full court shooting drill. We do. We have 2-footed jump stop finishes. We have one dribble attacks. We have bank shot. I mean, we have stuff that we want to do in our program. And I'll break them up into like four groups and boom, we'll do it for 2 minutes. And as soon as that clock goes off, we're done. And we'll do like three or four of those, which will take 6 to 8 minutes and we're done. Then we go on and do our skill. Then we jump into practice. And then the variety is where the key is. You don't want to do the same thing over and over because they'll just tune you out. But 25 minutes is way too long. It should be 5 to 10 on that kind of stuff early. And that's why I like that 2 minute segment.
So even on the JV, like you think form shooting something that
form shooting they should do before you're even in the gym or when they're when they walk in the gym, that's what they should be doing. That shouldn't be you doing that. That should just be an expectation. When you come in the gym before we start, here's what you then and everyone can do that. Here is what you do when you walk into the gym. This, and this. Period.
I've got this setup where the girls are in there 4 to 6 and then I go like 6:05 to 8. Almost like there's almost no time for that.
There's no time.
That's why I'm struggling with this. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I would give that I would make a form shooting 2 minutes. Boom.
Okay. Done. And then rotate through that every now and then.
Every third day or something. If you think it's really important, things I think are really important, like right now, 2-footed jump stops are big for us because we got to be more balanced. So I'll do that every other day. Just because it's something I know, it's a skill set I know we need to get better at. And some of the other stuff will kind of trickle down. I think that's a great way to kind of get things thrown in there. And then what's the expression? Variety is the spice of life. It's true for definitely for teenage boys.
Okay. And so a quick little follow-up then. Is there anything you do on a daily basis? Like it's a religious, you have to do this every day. It's your identity, you know?
You wouldn't know because we had 11 turnovers in the, it's a points of emphasis. Like we're not a very good rebounding team right now. We've always been a good rebound team. We're turning the ball over and we're dribbling too much. So it's points of emphasis more than things I do every day. I tend to do my full court shooting drill.
Hey everybody, I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those 5-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day. Sports Social Podcast Network.